I've started a series, I think last week it was called The Root Cause, and we're continuing this series, and if you will turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to jump right into the Word. Now, there are root causes, and really what made me come to this conclusion and researching this subject was because I evaluate my own life on a regular basis. I have set dates. I'm a little weird if you haven't figured that out, but I put it in the calendar. Take this time to 4 times a year to sit down, take a look over your life, see where things are prospering and doing well, and where things are lacking, and let's make some changes. And so I do this a minimum of 4 times a year. And one thing I started thinking about is there's some areas where the fruit and the results are great. And I'm loving life. I'm loving what is being produced. And then there's other areas I look and go, not so much. Why is it this way? Why are there some areas that are not producing? Have you met somebody that doesn't matter what group they're in, it's always going to end in strife and fighting and bickering? And then there's people that no matter what group they're in is going to end in laughter, high fives, and a good time. I'm talking to people here. And then there's people who always have financial trouble. Everywhere they go, there's problems. And then there's those who can't seem to fail. And even when they do fail, they learn something from it and they use that failure to turn it into a success. There's people like that all over. Oh, how about this one? I always loved this one. I go back to this one all the time because it just makes me laugh. So there was a person who told me they kept losing jobs. I mean, they couldn't keep a job to save their life. And the last job that I was talking with them, they're no longer here, so don't look around. They don't even live in the state, I don't think. But anyway, they were talking to me. I don't know what's wrong. I keep losing jobs in this last job. I don't know why I lost my job. I didn't even do anything. And I looked at them and said, that's probably the reason you didn't do anything. Like, you're hired to do something. That's hysterical. But, you know, my daddy always told me, he said, son, if something always happens to you, if something always happens to you, you're the only common denominator. So it's probably something to do with you. And so there, you know, I started looking at this and there's root causes. There's these little bitty habits that we may have. It can be as simple as a habit. And can I tell you something? I need better habits in my life. I personally need better habits in my life. And what's, I've read a lot about habits and, what do they say? 21 days to create a habit or 15 days. I don't know. Find it out. Google it. Not right now. We're in church, but Google it later. And no catching Pokemon in here right now. We're focused, right? Everybody's focused. So if I see a picture of me and a little ball coming my way with this little fuzzy character, we'll have a talk about that later. Not against you playing Pokemon, just give it a minute. Unless there's an epic one here, I don't know. You can tell I don't play Pokemon. So anyway, in all of this, there are root causes. And I even know that there are some funny things in my life that are absolutely root causes that go back to my family. There are some things that the way you are is simply because of your family. I remember one time I love making roast and carrots and gravy, right? And potatoes. And Jesse has made me throw onions in there. I didn't throw onions in there, but Jesse will make me throw big old onions in there. And one day there was somebody who ate some of my roast, right? And they're like, that is so good. I'm like, I'll teach you how to make it. So they came over and we were going through it. And I make the not all the time. Sometimes I cheat and do the little packet gravy. But, the homemade gravy and pour over it. It's delicious. I'm hungry. Let's all go somewhere after service. And so in this whole deal, they asked me, let's teach me how. So I showed them up and I started to cut the roast into chunks. And I put them all in the crock pots. And they asked me, why are you cutting the roast into chunks? I said, well, because you cut them into chunks. And they said, but your roast falls apart. They said, when I ate your roast, it just fell apart. So why do you need to cut it in chunks? And I thought about that, and that made sense. I thought, well, why do I cut it in chunks? And I started thinking, that's the way my daddy taught me. So I called my daddy, and I said, Daddy, why do you cut the roast in chunks? And he said, because I only have a 6-quart crock pot, and the it won't fit. So I need to cut it into chunks so it all fits. I had a 10 quart, didn't need to cut the roast into chunks. I have an extra step of more work to do simply because the root cause comes from my daddy. He never explained to me why we cut it into chunks. And I just thought that was a part of the process. Never questioned the process. And took me, somebody on the outside of my living, on the outside of my circle of intimate friends, and all, well, that sounded a little weird. Not like that. All right. All right. Let's keep moving. Not that kind of intimacy. Jesse's my only intimate friend. Let's keep moving from there. And so, in all of this, and there's even other areas of my life that the way I act comes, there's a root cause that runs in my family. And I told y'all last week that if there's a dog or something in my yard that's not supposed to be there, or a squirrel that keeps planting trees in my yard. Yeah. And in my rock wall. Do you know you cannot plant a 60-foot tree in a rock wall? Squirrels don't know that, and they will ruin your rock wall. And so, I will run out, and I'm praying my neighbors are never there. It's just like instinct. I just see them there, and it just happens. And I run out, and I go, get on out of here. Not even English. Not even English. And Jesse's like, no. We're not going to keep doing that. And I had to think about it. I'm like, where does that come from? It's my father that when a stray dog would get in the yard, he would run out and yell that. The root cause came from the family I grew up in. And now these are simple things. Now, I do not want you to get out of here and say, that's it. Everything that has happened bad in my life is my mother and father's fault. I have it. That is not the case. There has to be a moment where we accept responsibility for our own life and stop blaming others. We have got to get to a point that even if it is a habit, if we are constantly having the same results and we want a different result, we have got to come to the conclusion the only one that's going to change this result is me. I'm going to have to change. And you can change things that have ran in your families for years. I don't care if your great, 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 great grandfather was that way and it has ran through your entire family. They've always lived this way. They've always been in poverty. They've always been sick. They've always had negative attitudes. You can change you. Yes. Now, the good news is you're not doing it by yourself. You have the Lord on your side. And can I tell you, the Bible says, if the Lord be for me, who can be against me? And in that who may also just be you. I feel like Dr. Seuss this morning. Because sometimes we are our own worst enemy. And it's not so-and-so, even though we keep blaming them. And it's not so-and-so at the work. And it's not so-and-so. Yes, they are problems. They're not nice people. But you can still live a good and a successful life. And we don't always need to blame other people. Now, I understand there are things that have happened in our lives that other people are at fault. But can I tell you this? It is our job to get up and keep succeeding. Amen. Because we have one or two options. We can sit down and be a victim for the rest of our life, or we can get over it. And you may, let me tell you, there's things that have happened in my life that if I think and ponder about them today will still bring tears to my eyes. I'm not saying that the pain is not real and that you're not going to get, that the pain is just going to go away one day. I had somebody ask me, please pray for me that the pain will go away. Oh, time is your best friend. Yeah. It'll get easier. But we can't dwell on the past and stay there. Right. We must get up and move forward. But everything in our life has a root cause. There is a cause and effect. There is something on the inside of us that causes us to continually to get up. Or continually sit down, continually push forward, or say, well, I can't do anything about that. You know, great Aunt Pookie dealt with this, and, Grandma dealt with this, and so, y'all don't have any Aunt Pookies up here, but we had Pookies back home. With all this stuff, we dealt with it, and it's been in my family forever. Well, now, when you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're in a new bloodline. You're in a completely new bloodline, and your family don't deal with things like that anymore. Your family, you know, God is the creator of the entire universe. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. you're in a good family. Praise the Lord. Now, we don't disown our old family. Some of you are like, ooh, I'd like to. No, we don't disown our old family. I'm not telling you to walk out of this place and say, Daddy, Mama, forget you. I'm in a new family. What, what? You know, no, none of that. Especially if you're 13. Don't try that. They might send you outside and say, go find a new family to live with. But I want to talk about a root cause this morning that I think is really, honestly, if we want to be truthful about it and dig into it, probably the root cause for everything in sin, bad things in our life, really comes down to probably one root. Now, you may disagree with me, and that's fantastic. You can. You can. You can absolutely disagree with me. But I think one of the biggest root causes for failure and bad fruit in our life comes down to one root. And I believe that root is bitterness. Now, don't check out on me. Some of you are here like, oh, I know about bitterness. It comes down to unforgiveness and just bitterness in our heart. Well, okay, I get what you're thinking here. And yes, it has, it does deal with that, but it's so much more. It is so much more. Jealousy, I believe, goes back to bitterness. I think addiction goes back to bitterness. Addiction to pornography, drugs, all these things I can think can be traced all the way back to bitterness in our heart. I believe, just a bad attitude runs back to bitterness. I think all sin can really run back to bitterness. And let me just, you might be, oh, that's a big stretch. Well, we'll get there. Have you found Hebrews chapter 12? Resentment, hate. I believe all these can be traced back to a root of bitterness. Hebrews 12 and 14. Follow peace with all man. Now, I have already said this. I almost feel like a compulsion on the inside of me to explain this. When you see the word all men are up there, if you actually look up the Greek or the Hebrew, it actually means mankind. Male, female. It includes all gender. And so I believe this has been used by the church for a long time of history, is to try to make women a second-class citizen, are behind and not beside us. I always love that God used a rib because it was meant to be side by side. Not in front, not behind, but side by side. And so this is not just a, look, just men. No, it is mankind. And with holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. What do you need to see the Lord? Holiness. Well, y'all were really good at that. Let's try that again. What do you need to do to see the Lord? Have holiness. Holiness. Now, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. The Amplified puts it this way on that verse. It says, to it that no one falls short of God's grace. Lest any root of what?
Bitterness.
Any root of what?
Bitterness.
Bitterness spring up trouble, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicators, profane person, as Esau. Now, what was he dealing with? Yes, the birthright, but let's go back. It said it in the verse. This is not a trick question. Bitterness. He was dealing with bitterness. And we're going to look at Esau this morning. And we're going to look at the bitterness that he was dealing with. For one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. Now, there's three things about bitterness. We won't get into all three. We're only going to get into two. And next Sunday, we'll get into the last one. But three things about bitter roots that I want you to get today. If you're taking notes, you're going to write these down. Number one, bitter roots deceive. If you have a bitter root on the inside of you, it will deceive you. It will cause you to think things that are not true. It will cause you to contemplate about what people meant, how they said. See, I don't like, there's something important that I'm dealing with, I don't like sending emails. And when I say important with people, I don't like sending emails or text messages because people will put a tone with the text message and email that's not there. It's not even there. But they'll put that there. And they'll take offense to it or be hurt. What did they mean? Why did they say it like that? I even had one time had a typo. Just a typo in somebody's name. Why did they misspell my name? Are you upset with me? They're like, yes, that's my little defiant. I misspelled your name. No. Sorry, that's funny. But it wouldn't be so funny if people didn't take little things. I'm going to tell you, a root of bitterness in your life will cause you to look silly. will cause you to look childish, will cause you to look like you don't have your stuff together, because bitterness will spring up fruit that is not worth eating. Bitter roots will deceive you. Now, 2 Corinthians, you can write this down. 2 Corinthians 11 and 3 says, "But I fear, by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ." Let me break that down in just simple English. Paul is basically stating here, I'm afraid the same way Eve got deceived, that Christ, his death, resurrection, his power, salvation is so simple that you will be deceived the same way Eve was about the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And how many people get so wrapped up in something that they begin to question things and try to disprove God's word, or get to a place where they say, well, that just can't be. Or something they believed for years, and the Word of God has been rooted and grounded on the inside, and now just leave everything overnight. And Paul is stating, I don't want you to be deceived the same as Eve was. I don't want something to get in there to confuse you to a place where you don't look at the gospel of Jesus Christ as simple anymore. I think there's two things that people get caught up in when it comes to confusing them. Legality. The legal deal of the Word of God, if you get too legalistic about God's Word, it'll cause you to get away from the simplicity, which is Christ. And then their lasciviousness, I always have a problem with that one. Help me here. Lasciviousness. So, lasciviousness, which is basically evil living. Evil living. For Christians, it is, I live any way I want to. I have grace. That has been used, and I am all about the grace of God. But when you get to a place where you say, I live any way I want to, and it does not affect me, you are wrong. It will affect you, your children, and your children's children if you think you can live any way you want to. I can't tell you the amount of stories, people committing adultery, and then they lose everything, their family, their nest egg, everything, overnight. Because of something so simple. Yeah. It's insane. You don't think your... Okay, I'll tell you this. If you don't think your actions as a Christian has any responsibilities... I was going to tell you to do something, but then I probably could be prosecuted for that. Let's just say Joe Blow decides to walk up to a cop and punch him in the face. I'm going to tell you something. And then he tries to... No! I'm under grace. Let's see how far that grace extends. There are consequences for your actions. My daddy used to put it this way. Son, everything is a reward. Punishment is a reward for bad behavior. Good things are a reward for good behavior. Today is set before you, life and death. You choose what way you want to go. And so we need to understand that we have a decision-making process in us. But this is beautiful. Now, some people will look at root causes and say, well, I can't control the roots in, you know, underground. That may be something interesting. You may not be able to control how plants, whatever, but you can prune them. And this is something I love. In Georgia and places like that where pecans are big business. Anybody like pecans besides me? Pecans are a wonderful gift from God because that's what goes in pecan pie. I don't know if you figured that out, but that is a gift from the Lord. And so they had problems with heavy rains that all of a sudden, you know, the trees soak up all the water, and then high winds, a storm coming through, causing these pecan trees to collapse, to fall over. And people, big business is being lost because of this, which made whoever, I don't know, an agriculturalist, to begin to splice a oak tree and then put a pecan tree on top. And when you look at these trees, you can see a very clear line all the way across the tree. And the reason they did that is the oak has deeper roots. They spread out further and they go down deeper. And so when the rain pours and they get top heavy, that when the wind blows, the oak tree can handle the storm much better than the pecan tree. And so we have naturally figured that out, that we can cause roots to go in a certain manner, to go deeper in even watering. They tell you when you water your plants, don't just, you know, water and then, you know, come every day and water a little bit. Water heavy. Leave them alone for 3, 4, 5 days, and then water heavy again so those roots go deep and can handle it. I told y'all last week that we had two bushes in our front yard when we bought them, and the first year they made it, but they turned completely. It was those wintergreen, supposed to stay green. They turned super, super brown. I thought they died, and then the next year they came back. One came back pretty nice, and the other one stayed half dead, and then the next winter they were both dead. I thought, oh man, this is going to be tough because I've gotten, you know, I'm going to have to dig deep and pull these plants. Well, I pulled them just to see, and came right up, popped right out. And the reason was, whoever planted them didn't take them out of the container. They were buried with their container. Yeah, I know what the owner thought. Curve appeal, let's just bury it, and we're going to put as little money into this as possible. We're not going to do any work. Just put them down, and hopefully it'll help sell the home. Well, apparently they were right. We didn't make it about, you know, I didn't buy the home because the bushes look good. But I just thought, man, these plants could have survived. They could have survived if you would have done something a little different. But what happened was the ground got so cold that it hit the roots, and the roots had nowhere else to go to stay alive. And so we got to be rooted and grounded in God. The Bible says, there's a prayer that says, rooted and grounded in love, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints. That if we're rooted and grounded with love, it doesn't matter if a drought comes. It doesn't matter if it gets very frigid. You can have relationships that turn cold. Business acquirements that turn cold. Things that get really cold. And you'll be able to survive it. Because you're rooted and grounded in love. God is love. So we could even say it this way. You're rooted and grounded in God. And when we're rooted and grounded in Him, storms can come. If we're tapped into His system, we'll make it through it. Some of you might say, well, I look a little brown like that plant of yours. Well, tap into love. It doesn't matter how brown you are, how dried up your leaves are, how bad things look on the outside. You're tapped into a source that will bring you back to life. Yeah. Oh, let me, I just felt something there. Let me just say this. It'll also bring your dreams back to life. Yeah. Your hopes back to life. Things that God spoke to you a long time ago. Things you had in your heart that you really felt you were supposed to do. Things that God was leading you toward. It seems like those dreams and those visions have died. Well, when you tap into God Almighty, if it was from Him, He'll bring it back to life. He'll cause those things that seem to be dead. He'll holler out, Lazarus, come forth. Yeah. So whatever your dream was, it could be dead for 3 days, 3 years, 30 years. God can speak to your dreams. God can speak to your visions and bring it back to life. Oh, I feel like I want to run right now. Woo! You ever get so excited about God's word, you don't know what to do? Oh, my Lord. I feel like the bursting of 1,000 suns on the inside of me. If I wasn't saved, you know what I would do? Get saved, because this is the only life to live. Amen. Amen. Woo! Wow. Forgive me. I get excited about God's word. So I said this. One of the reasons why we fail, I believe, is legalism and lascivious living. So we can't get so far under the legalism that we bring death to the roots. And we can't get so far into living in grace that we begin to blame sin on grace. Grace was never meant for you to sin. Grace was meant to destroy sin. Amen. All right. Whew. So, one, bitter roots, what do? They deceive. And then also bitter roots defile. They will deceive you and they will defile you. Verse 15 says, lest any root of bitterness, root of what? Bitterness. Spring up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. Now this word defiled in the Greek is the word minnow. And it means to dye with color or to stain. Sin will stain you. Living any way you want to will stain your life. Now, me and my sister, y'all have already figured out that I'm kind of crazy. And when I was younger, I was even more crazy. The good news is I had Jesus my whole life. And so it kept me where I needed to be. Not that I didn't make mistakes, not that I didn't act like a fool sometimes, but the good news is I stayed on track. And one of my friends was Catholic. Now, I grew up in a community. I understand Catholics are everywhere here. I grew up in a community where there were no Catholics. Like, you were either Baptist or you were Pentecostal. Those were your two options. You didn't have anything in between. You were going to be Baptist or you were going to speak in tongues. It didn't matter what denomination, Church of God, Assembly of God, but they all were Pentecostal or charismatic. And so you had to choose one where you were going to go. And I think we had a Catholic church that was like two or three towns over that might have had like five or six or seven members. I don't know, but just Catholicism was not a big deal. It just wasn't around. And I remember one day I met a Catholic guy in Panama City Beach area, and we began to talk about the Lord. And he was telling me about God. I was telling him about God. We were testifying to each other. It was just a wonderful thing. I loved it. And then at the end of it, he says, I'd like to give, and my sister was there, and he said, I'd like to give both of y'all something. I said, okay. And he brought out of it, he went to his car and came back, and he got us two rosary beads, and Jesus was on the cross right there, and I thanked him for it, didn't know that it had it, and see, this shows you, I just grew up in a town that didn't have it, didn't know that they were meant for prayers. He gave me a little book for the prayers, and me and my sister were going to watch a movie afterwards, and so we went to watch a movie, and I'll try to make the story short. But we decided to just be crazy. I mean, like, this is Panama City. This is an hour and a half away from our town. Nobody knows us here. Let's just be stupid crazy. And I will say, I was also 17, and I don't know, she was 4 years older. You do the math. I decided and just brought it up before her. I said, now, because these are meant for prayer, every 10 steps, let's sit down, kneel down on the pavement, and make a prayer no matter where we are walking to the movie. And she's like, okay, let's do it. And so we did it. We bow. And then there's people, you know, the cars, y'all would have hated me if you were there. Car stop. We bow down, make a prayer. We get 10 more steps. We bow down, make a prayer. Thank God we were in a Bible Belt area. So everybody's like, shh, don't honk your horn. They are praying to Jesus right now. They're praying to Jesus. So everybody was respectful. You see people just like kind of bowing their head. You know, they're like, yes, Lord, Catholics are doing the cross. I mean, it's just wonderful. And so we make it. And I mean, we are so close to the ticket counter. I mean, I could almost reach it, but that was 10. So we bow down and we pray again. We order our ticket. We go inside and we keep doing this until I decide I need to use the restroom before we go into the movies. I did not bow down in the men's room. That's just disgusting. That's disgusting. And so as I get out of the men's room, my sister Manda is beside this young lady and she is crying. I'm like, oh, Lord. I knew it had to be about Jesus. I knew it had to be about the Lord. I'm like, we're supposed to just have a movie. What is Manda doing evangelizing out here? So I go over to her and I'm like, and what's going on? And she says, Tim, you have to speak with her. She's going to accept Jesus as her Savior today. And the girl's crying. She says, I can't accept Jesus. I can't accept Jesus. I've done too much. I have sinned. I've gone too far. God cannot love me. And she went in, and to give you a little backstory, she gave me the backstory telling me that, you know, as a child, the family that was supposed to protect her hurt her. And then not only that, but also extended family members hurt her, brothers, uncles, father. And it just expanded through her family. And then once she got out when she was like 14, 15 and just left the house, went to live on the street. And she said, I went to relationship looking for love. And she said, I've been used and abused and I've allowed myself to do this. I've allowed myself to be here. God cannot love me. And what happened was she was dealing with the stain of shame, a separation from God. And I began to tell her that no stain, no sin can separate you from God. That if you would accept Jesus as your Savior today, you'll be on your path to heaven and out of the grips of the enemy of darkness. You're going to heaven and not hell. If Jesus would return today, if you accept Him as your Savior, you're heaven bound. And she accepted Jesus right there. She got married, had children, and is in a church. And her husband's a deacon. She is in the worship team. All because of that one moment. But I want to tell you something. The lie of the enemy will tell you you've gone too far, or God doesn't love you, or God doesn't treat you, which really comes down, if we want to look at it, a root of bitterness that God is holding something from you, not giving you the fullness of life. You know, I think that's really what happened. If we want to look at Eve, I think that's what happened to her. Is that all of a sudden, God's holding out on me. And the devil tried to amplify that to her. Now, before we get too much into Eve, let's look at, go to Genesis chapter 25. We're going to look at Jacob and Esau here. And most people believe that when you read the story that Esau was dealing with a root of bitterness, they believe the day that he got swindled out of his inheritance by trying for Jacob pretending to be him, and his father had failing eyesight. Thank God for glasses and laser eye surgeries, because otherwise, you know, that could have saved, you know, Esau from Jacob stealing his birthright. And because, see, this, let me tell you this. One, I believe this is what Jacob was dealing with. I was born too late. If I would have been the firstborn, I'd have made it. I'd have had it all. But my birth order messed me over. Lord, you knew this. And even if somebody doesn't go to God, it does go to God. It does go to God. The bitterness, you may be bitter at something, but honestly, if we go to the very root of it, it goes back to the Lord. God, you knew this was going to happen. Whether we blame him or not, God, you knew this was going to happen. Why did you not save me? Why did you not cause me to be the firstborn? Why are you giving something to someone else that is not coming to me? Why am I not blessed like they're blessed? Why don't I have a new car when they do? Why is my house not as nice as their house? Why does it seem like they're constantly being victorious and I'm constantly being knocked down? And it comes down to a bitter root that is in our life that is producing fruit over and over. It's a vicious, horrible cycle. And if we don't get it by the root, we may pull up what we can see. I've cut down a tree, and you know what sprung out of the stump? Another tree. Now, it didn't bother me for a while. I went, you know, a whole year without seeing anything. And the next year, it popped up. And so you can try to deal with some bitterness, and you may get good fruit for a while. But if you don't deal with the root, you're going to have some more fruit. So we got to get to the very root cause of these things. Now, Genesis chapter 25 and verse 29. And Jacob sodded pottage. Isn't that an awesome term for cooking a meal? I sodded me some pottage today. I like the way the Bible puts things. And Esau came from the field and he was faint. Basically, he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, or red stew. I make a mean red stew. Probably not the same as it, because his was probably lentils. Mine is a tomato base. Red stew. For I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. Now, Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. He was not about to die. He was not, you might look at this, that's ridiculous. Hey, we're just as ridiculous. I'm starving. No, you're not. You're hungry. You haven't known starvation. Starvation is a point where your belly's popping out. Hello? We don't know starvation. We don't know starvation. We know what it is to be hungry, but not to starve. Starving deals with nutrition and just being at a point. You know, people in other countries that are making mud pies in Haiti so that they don't feel hungry, they're starving. We just went a couple hours before we ate between snacks. Or we look in the refrigerator, oh God, all this food is frozen. I have to prepare something. I have food, but nothing's ready to cook. I'm starving. First world problems. And we use the word starving the same way that he's using the word I'm dying. No, he was just hungry and tired. He's hungry and tired. Now, I've seen people act crazy when they're hungry and tired. None of you, I'm sure. Now, he wasn't dying. And he says, what profit shall this birthright do to me? And basically saying, if I die, how is this going to help me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Now, verse 34, and Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. Ah, see, there it was, lentils. And he said, eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. And Esau despised his birthright. How did he despise his birthright?
He valued it less.
Oh, ah, Bible scholars. He put no value on it. Can I tell you something? We have people that despise finances, money. They put no value on it. We have governments that despise money and their people put no value on it. We have people who despise their homes. They put no value on it. We have people who despise their vehicles. They put no value on them. You can tell by the way they treat it. People who despise their children, they put no value on them. People who despise their parents, they put no value. You can despise a lot of things. He didn't physically state, I despise this. He probably was looking forward to it at one time. Oh, when daddy croaks, I'm going to get everything. I'm going to get everything when dad dies. And he was probably counting on that. But yet he put no value on it. He worked nothing for it. Somebody else worked a whole lot for it. You know, it amazes me. We see in when you go camping and things like that, don't feed the animals. Because if you feed them, they don't hunt anymore. They don't do for themselves. They keep wanting to go to people to keep gathering up and doing less work. But yet, we do the same thing to our children. Mm-hmm. My grandmother told me when I would stay at their home, get in here, I'm going to teach you how to cook. I'm going to teach you how to cook, son. And I'm like, all right. And she, one of the first lessons was to boil an egg, right? Something simple. And she said, you need to learn how to boil an egg. You need to learn how to do this because people these days don't know how to boil water. That was her statement. People these days don't even know how to boil water. Well, actually, she probably was a little sexist. She said, women these days don't know how to boil water. She was from a different generation. So she taught me how to cook. And we started with the egg, and then we got into desserts, pound cakes. Oh, yes, Lord. And then lemon pound cakes, and then coconut pound cakes. Everything was a pound cake for some reason. But it was delicious, and I loved learning how to cook from her. And she showed me how to cook, and she even showed me how to make noodles from scratch. I'm telling you something. Those are not made by fairies in a factory somewhere. You can make noodles. Who knew? Do you know something? You can make a marshmallow?
Yep.
I just thought you mixed the right chemicals and something exploded and gave you a marshmallow. You can make a marshmallow.
Yep.
Man, these are things I just did not know in life. But, you know, they're... So she taught me how to cook. And, you know, we're doing, I think, a disservice to our generation below us by not teaching them how to live. Not teaching men to be men. Hello.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I've told my mother, I said, I am so thankful. I came from a hunting family, and we didn't have a butcher, right? We didn't have butchers. Butchers were a long way away, so we had to butcher our own meat. Mm-hmm. And I told Mama, I said, if it hits the fan, if everything goes down, I can survive because y'all taught me how to hunt and fish.
Right.
I have, you know, my neighbors might not make it, but I can. And I also know where Jeff Jones lives, and he smokes a mean brisket. It might take me a couple days to get there, Jeff, if my automobile's not working, but I'm on my way. And so, you know, I think we do a justice by not training people. Can I tell you this? The church has done an injustice to marriages. Not training a husband how to love his wife and a wife how to love her husband. The Bible actually commands us to do so. And that lets me know that it does not come natural. Oh, they'll work it out. No. We have proven that they're not working it out. Our nation, our world has proven it doesn't just work itself out. You have to be rooted and grounded in love to be able to love somebody like Jesus loves them. Because there will be days. Now, not me, but only Jesse, right? Because I do all the wrong stuff. She does all the right stuff. But I'm sure there's days that she feels like that movie or that TV series. One of these days, Tim, to the moon. Google it if you don't know what I'm talking about. Yes, the honeymooners. So Esau had a root of bitterness. He despised his blessing. He didn't value it. He did not value it. If you don't value your wife, if you don't value your husband, if you don't value your relationship, you are despising it. And some of you might say, well, I'm not despising them. Well, the Bible says you are if you don't put a proper value on them. If you don't put a value on your wife or your husband or your kids, you are despising them. And can I tell you something? They'll feel it and they'll know it. And you may think, I'm not. No, you are. If you are not valuing them for who they are and how God created them, the call of God that is on their life, you will despise them. That's what you're doing. And that works with friendships. If you're not valuing your friendship, you're despising them. And eventually, they're going to wake up. And they're going to understand they're being despised. Now, it took you a long time to get there. It might take you a little while to get out. So let's break some habits and some root causes. Get it up by the roots. Now, I'm going to be very quickly here. Genesis chapter 28. Let's go to Genesis 28. You turn to Genesis 28. I'm going to talk to you very quickly about Galatians 3 and 6. Eve gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. This is what caused me to bring Eve into it and Esau. They both sold out for something to eat. But there was a lie behind it. Eve was told, just basically that God, if you eat of this, you'll be like God. If you eat of this, you'll begin to see evil. If you eat with this, you will be like God. You will know God. The sad thing was there was some truth to that. Their eyes was open. And, you know, that's the way lies get started. The good lies have a little bit of truth in them. But the devil tried to convince her that she didn't have a relationship with the Lord to begin with.
Right.
But the crazy thing was God tells us that he came down every day and walked and talked with them. Like, you'll be able to know God. The sad fact was they already knew him. You'll be able to know good. They already knew good. You'll be able to know evil. God never intended for them to know evil. And he tried to convince them that God was holding out on them. And everything, that half of what he was saying, they already had. Over half of it. They already had a relationship with the Lord. They already knew good. And God was keeping them from evil. And she gave, and they ate. Now, Genesis 28, you got there, verse 6. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram. That's a southerner pronouncing Greek, right? Or Hebrew, excuse me. To take a wife from thence, that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife or daughter of Canaan. Now, Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to that wonderful place. And Esau seeing this, can I tell you something? Esau saw this, right? That the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac, his father. Go to the next verse. Then went Esau unto Ishmael. We all know who Ishmael is. One of the sons of Abraham that was out of, they didn't do it like God did it. Wanted them to do it. It was in their own deal. I got to back up so I could see this clearly. And took unto the wives. Now get this. He just saw that his father said, don't go there and do this. Esau immediately arose. Now, Esau already has two wives. He got up. He went to the land, which his father said, don't go to. Because you want to know why his dad said, don't go here? They didn't serve the Lord.
Right.
They didn't serve the Lord. And he saw that his brother pleased his dad.
Right.
And his brother was going to get a wife that loved God. And it pleased his father. So Esau, with a root of bitterness, said, I'm going to go do exactly what my father doesn't want me to do. I'm going to show him. They think I'm the black sheep. I'm going to show them. Yeah, I messed up. I'm going to show them how well I messed up. All from a root of bitterness. Can I tell you something? Yeah, it hurt his father. Absolutely, it hurt his father. Yeah, it hurt his mother. You know who it hurt more? Esau.
Yeah.
They don't think much of me. I'll show them. Oh, yeah. And see, this causes so much strife between family members and between brothers and sisters. Between sister and sister, brother and brother. Oh, they always are daddy's favorite. Now, in my family, we know that I am the favorite. I mean, it's just common knowledge. It's just common knowledge. I mean, what are you going to do to be... I mean, I'm a minister of the gospel. You're going to have to become pope or nun or something. Come on, you can laugh at these jokes. This is funny. I'm going to have to start telling you these are funny things. So we need a picture that you could put up there that says laugh and flashes. Like they do on TV shows. Okay. And so this has caused strife among families all the way back to biblical times. And it's still going on today.
Sure.
And people, when they have a root of bitterness, they will do things that will hurt themselves more than the people they're trying to hurt. They, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Bitterness will cause you to be so full of drama that you'll do everything you can to destroy someone else's life. And it gets you into all this drama. You know, I remember someone I know very clearly from back in Florida, where I come from. Honestly, if we want to be clear about it, family member. And basically say, I hate drama. I hate drama. And I just said, well, seems like you surely are in it a lot to hate it so much. That was the wrong thing to say, apparently. Because they got up, got very mad at me, and yelled a lot of things at me, and left. Which was probably the best thing I could have done. If I would have known, I'd have said that a long time ago to get them out of my presence. No, that's terrible. But, you know, they'll try to cause so much drama for someone else to hurt them. And what it ends up doing is it destroys them. Drama and all that kind of stuff, all this bitter root will destroy your relationships, friendships. It will destroy so many things in your life. And what happens is you end up doing something to spite someone else. Who are they to tell me how to act? I live like I want to. I'll do what I want. No one will tell me what to do. That attitude of despising. That attitude of bitterness in your life. I think one of the major addictions in pornography is the fact that they feel like if I stay celibate, God is holding out on me. This isn't fair. Why do I have to live this way when everybody else lives any way they want to? Instant gratification. I think it goes back to a lot of things. I'm not treated well at home. My wife or husband doesn't pay attention to me like they should. But my secretary does, and so-and-so does, and it starts something. And it all goes back to, well, why did I make this mistake? Why did I do this? Why is God punishing me? And most people, God is punishing me for something I have done. God's not punishing you. You are punishing you. And you keep a cycle in your life that keeps causing these things to happen. I'm going to stop right here and we'll take up next week. But I want you, if you get anything out of this, what I want you to do is begin to evaluate your life. Look at your life and say, is there something in my life that keeps producing fruit I don't want? Maybe, just maybe, it's not your wife or your husband or the person at work. I have seen people run from city to city. They just get in so much trouble in one city and they say, I just need a new start. I need a new start. You may need a new start, but you better get the roots out before you start. Deal with that root. Are you going to deal with the same problem in a different city? I've had somebody I've counseled with cry. It's everywhere I go, every city I move to, I deal with this. This problem keeps popping up. And that pain was very real. But the enemy has deceived them that the new place is the answer.
Right.
That the new city is the answer. New friendships are the answer. Now, dealing with the root cause is the answer. Having Jesus wash you white as snow is the answer. Being rooted and grounded in love is the right answer. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ is the right answer. Let's go before the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your word.